This is Mr. Michael Dean broadcasting live worldwide from a windowless bunker in an undisclosed location in the rural, wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America. And we have Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. Are you there, Ben? Over. Can you hear me?
I am here, Dateline, Missouri.
Ben,
I am in the middle
of all
the action.
Ben is where it's happening. Ben is our embedded, boots-on-the-ground reporter in Missouri. Are you safe, Ben?
I am safe where I'm at. I'm here where all the action is taking place.
What have you seen in the past 24 hours? We want to know.
I have seen right at ground zero where what is happening is just beyond explanation. It's just too far out there to even believe. It's called Branson, Missouri. It's a combination of Las Vegas, Disneyland, Bakersfield. Let's put it this way. Yakov Smirnoff has his own theater here. He's like the Wayne Newton of Branson.
Well, we like him, and we are going to be interviewing him soon. But wait a minute.
We
paid to send you to Ferguson. What are you doing in Branson?
Ferguson. I entered Branson on my device that sent me here. It gave me all the instructions. Yeah, so I can't wait. There's a Beatles tribute show.
What?
There's like Four Seasons tribute show. There's an Elvis tribute show. And there's even an ABBA tribute show. An ABBA tribute show. Can you believe it, Michael?
This isn't what we signed you up for, Ben. We sent you to Ferguson, Missouri to give us boots on the ground embedded reporting. What happened?
Well, you had mentioned violence, and I found out that there's a Dolly Parton's Dixie Stampede going on here. I have
Stampede?
No idea what that is. Stampede.
It sounds violent.
Yeah, so scary. I figured this must be the place. And the Gatling brothers have a thing here. I can't remember
exactly who that is.
It's
a machine gun, isn't it?
It must be. It sounds violent to me.
Well, guns aren't inherently violent, but if they live by the gun, maybe they die by the gun. Who are these Gatling brothers?
I have no idea, but they seem famous. There's also billboards everywhere for somebody named Clay Cooper. I have no idea who that is, but he appears to be very famous.
I don't know what that is. Wow.
There's even a Mount Rushmore with the faces of John Wayne, Elvis, Marilyn Monroe, and Oliver Hardy.
And you did you sent me a picture. I didn't know what that was. You looked like you were doing some important maintenance and cleaning on the Ronald Reagan statue.
Yeah, they have a giant bust of Ronald Reagan's head, and I was just getting rid of some of the nose-related debris.
You were picking his nose. It was pretty funny.
Mickey Gilley has a restaurant here, but there's a for sale sign in front of it. I thought that was kind of odd.
Maybe you should buy it. You and your wife have been driving around the country in your retirement solving mysteries. Maybe that's your destiny, is to buy a restaurant in Branson, Missouri.
That could be. I noticed that there's more Mexican restaurants here than the last time I was in Juarez, Mexico. So I'm not sure if that's the best field to go into.
Tell us more about violence.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go.
Yeah, so this violence somewhere near St. Louis, why would anybody live in St. Louis anyway? Why would anyone go to it? Yeah.
That's what I want to know. Yeah.
I get through there as quickly as possible.
I wouldn't go to Missouri. But I don't know. Is it scary where you're at?
Where we're at here, we are actually in Branson, and it's really cool. It really is a combination of Vegas, Disneyland, and Bakersfield. It's unbelievable.
We're on the radio in Bakersfield. So
glorious Bakersfield.
You know, imagine if you're in Bakersfield listening, what it would be like if it also had aspects of Disneyland and, what'd you say, Dollywood?
Las Vegas, yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of
churches and a lot of patriotic stuff, too.
Yeah, there are lots of churches, almost as many mega churches as there are theaters, and there are a lot of theaters.
Wow. So who's Yakov Smirnoff?
This guy is really interesting. You might think, oh, well, he's just this guy from, you know, a comedian from back in the 80s when there used to be a Soviet Union to make fun of. But he's really far more interesting than that. We haven't done our interview with him yet, but he generally, I think, refers to himself as Russian. But he's actually from Odessa, which is in Ukraine. Yeah.
Well, that was the Soviet Union back then. That was not a separate country.
Yeah, and Russian is the main language that spoke there.
Yeah, he's a comedian from the 80s and 90s. He moved to America in the 80s, and he did a lot of jokes about the difference between the USSR and Russia, kind of talking about the tyranny of
the USSR and the freedom of America. Did I say between USSR and Russia? Between the USSR and America. And he emigrated here during the Cold War, which was not common or easy to do.
That's a really weird story. From what I read, the U.S. made an arrangement with the Soviet Union to give the Soviet Union wheat if the Soviet Union would let people immigrate to the U.S.
So they traded wheat for Yakov Smirnov. Yeah.
Yeah.
I dig the guy. And, you know, he's commonly known for jokes like, you know, in Soviet Russia, television watches you, which is a type of joke called the Russian reversal, which he never really did. And it predates him. It was kind of common in America in the 60s, kind of like, you know, Polish jokes or something, you know, mildly racist jokes or anti-national jokes about another country. He didn't do the Russian reversal. I'm going to play a little bit of him from back then. And he doesn't even do Russian humor now. He does kind of standard observational humor. And he, like, literally, you know, what they call live the American dream. He came here, you know, started working in clubs and ended up owning a 2,000-seat theater in Branson. I actually made up a Russian reversal joke that's pretty funny, though. It's that in Soviet America, web browses you. I'm going to tell him that one when we have him on. But I'm going to go ahead and play a little bit of Yakov Smirnov from the 80s, because I really like this guy, and I think he has a bad reputation with a lot of people because he's been parodied so much as this kind of like one-hit wonder joke. But it's pretty funny stuff, man.
So I tell you, comedy, huh? Comedy is in my blood.
You know who's introducing him here?
Oh, yeah.
Who is this? Mr. I Can't Get No Respect, speaking of one-hit jokes.
Yeah, his name leaped out of my brain.
Yeah. He plays the father in Natural Born Killers, who gets murdered by Woody Harrelson and his girlfriend at the time, or Woody Harrelson's character. All right, so let's go ahead and hear some about 3 minutes of Yakov here, or 6 minutes. We got 3 minutes. We'll play three now and three later.
I wish it was in my act. Our next comedian is from Russia. How do you like that, huh?
Yeah.
This guy came here 7 years ago, couldn't speak a word of English. Today he speaks 12 words. All Spanish. Say hello to Yakov Smirnov. Okay, here we are. Great guy. Okay. All right, baby. All right.
Hi. Hi. My name is Yakov Smirnov. I am a comedian from Russia. Thank you very much. I want to explain to you what happened to that airplane. I am actually from Russia. I was born there, grew up there, worked as a comedian out there. What surprises me, American people don't know we have comedy in Russia. We have comedians. They're there. They're dead. They're there. It's very hard to do comedy in Soviet Union. You have to write out all your material, and you send it to Department of Jokes. I'm not making this up. They send it back to you censored. You have to stay with the script. You cannot improvise. If someone heckles you from the audience, you can't say, like, your mother wears army boots. Because she probably does. And she will hurt you. Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience. They're not going anywhere. You gotta be very selective, very careful with what jokes you say. If you say, like, take my wife, please, you get home, she's gone. I realized that I wanted to get out of Russia. It's not easy to get out because you apply for a visa, but they give you MasterCard. Yeah. There are no things like American Express. They give you Russian Express. Don't leave home. Finally, I got an answer. Get out. And my first stop in America was in Cleveland, Ohio. Anybody from Cleveland by chance? Anybody? They made me feel at home in Cleveland, so I had to escape again. Now, I make fun of Cleveland because everybody makes fun of Cleveland. Is that correct? I mean, every country has one city people make fun of. In Russia, we used to make fun of Cleveland. Then I got to New York. New York was great. I walked out of the airplane. I saw my name written. Big letters. Smirnov. America loves Smirnov. I said to myself, what a country. I didn't speak English. It was hard, you know. Everybody was telling me different things to do. You know, people would say, you're going to learn pidgin English first, then you'll be fine. So I used to go to parks. And I learned... Then I learned how to crop on windshields. A friend of mine said, I quit smoking cold turkey. Whatever makes you happy. What do you smoke now, ham? I was reading newspaper. The ad in the paper said, big sale last week.
Okay. That's enough of that.
That is really good stuff. I mean, that is not what he is stereotyped as doing.
Right.
That is some really smart comedy.
I think my favorite joke from him I heard somewhere else was he said, people say, you know, can comedians in Russia criticize your leaders? And he says, of course, once. Yeah, so go ahead with your Yakov or your Branson.
It's just really nice here. We haven't actually got to pick up any shows. We've only been here a couple days. But we're just driving around looking at the place, looking at the amazing amount of stuff. I had no idea. There are, you know, competing places on every street that have, like, roller coasters and, you know, go-kart tracks and just all kinds of stuff. It's not like one big amusement park. It's like every business on every block has some aspect of an amusement park to it. It's really neat.
There's something quintessentially American about that in all meanings of that.
I suppose it's probably more like what was that place in New Jersey back like in the 1930s where they had the big boardwalk? I guess there's still stuff there
the boardwalk.
Nowadays.
Yeah, they still have it. Yeah. Although they didn't they arrest Eddie Free for wearing a t-shirt or something there?
Oh, that's
not
right.
Wearing a t-shirt or
yeah, there was a bathing suit
controversy.
Issue.
What was it? Yeah, they banned bathing suits there, didn't they?
Yeah.
America, what a country. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's at the Circle Pines Center just outside Kalamazoo, Friday, August 22nd through Monday, August 25th. There will be family and grown-up friendly activities, great conversation, presentations, and bacon. Lots of bacon. It doesn't matter if you're an OG libertarian, a newbie, or just anarcho-curious. Come on out and enjoy some voluntarism. For more information, go to miplc.org.
What sets Survival Punk apart from all those other survivalist sites? A rational, creative approach to self-reliance. Applying a punk DIY ethic to survivalism without any of the fear-mongering or tinfoil hattery that pervades the survivalist movement. Survival Punk covers a huge range of topics, along with a healthy bit of myth-busting. Survival Punk provides a ton of dirt-cheap creative solutions to common prepping problems, with an accent on the paleo lifestyle. Check out survivalpunk.com. That's survivalpunk.com.
Meow.
In Soviet America, police on rooftops point guns at you. So yeah, that whole last segment was kind of fun, and we're not making light. I want to make it clear, we're not making light of the police occupation of Ferguson, Missouri. And it's pretty scary, and you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, coming to a town near you, where you live, and I hope not. I hope that's not the new normal all the time ever in this town. I'm really looking forward to our interview with Jeff Berwick from Anarchast. Ben and I are interviewing him. Ben was interviewed on, he's kind of been on a fiend's tip lately. You were on there, right?
I was on there. Nima's been on there.
Yeah.
Pretty
and,
cool.
And
you've
I'm
been
gonna,
on there.
I'm going to be on, well, I haven't been on there. I've been interviewed for it. It's going to come out in about a week. Yeah. And, But he lives outside of the U.S. and has expatted. You know, they say, if you don't love America, get out. And he got out.
You know, we should also mention that he's going to be having a really interesting thing coming up.
Anarchapuco. Yes.
Yeah, in February. And man, I would love to get to that.
Yeah, Anarchapuco. It's kind of the expatters pork fest, maybe.
Yeah, and February, where in the world would it be better to be than Acapulco, Mexico? Yeah. Holy moly.
Yep, yep. And that interview with him is Saturday, September 6th. So our other Fiend co-collaborator, unindicted co-conspirator, one of 12, Bill Buppert, wrote an interesting article on ZeroGov.com called An Intrusion of Cockroaches. Sheriff Andy is shown the door by Bill Buppert, and it begins with a photo of one of these thugged out cockroaches, as Bill calls them, sitting on a roof in Ferguson, Missouri, with a
he's actually on a armed personnel carrier on the roof of an armed personnel carrier.
Yeah, those things that the Department of Defense is giving to every sheriff and cop shop in America. So if you live in a town of 178 people in rural Peaston, Missouri, your sheriff has a flawed mine-resistant vehicle. Now, here's one of the things. One of the reasons these things were being given away to every cop shop was, they're very bulletproof, but they're not very explosive-proof from underneath. They failed in combat for that. So they were like, we got to get rid of these and get better ones. So they gave them all to your local police department and gave them a lot of leftover battle gear from Afghanistan and Iraq. So now your local police are militarized and they're playing dress up and they're ready for World War III. And even when there's not World War III, they get to play Ken and Barbie military version of it. And look like cops, military, and have the attitude of the military of looking at everyone as an enemy and going to all sorts of scenarios dressed for battle. And they're not soldiers. They're not trained or prepared for it. They don't need to have the mentality that everyone's the enemy. But it affects everyone to the point where, you know, they show up, for a car alarm and say, you know, shut your yappy dog up or we're going to shoot him. And this cop sitting on the roof of this basically tank with wheels is using the most ridiculous, hilarious tactical rifle. You know, it's a 308 battle rifle. And somebody said, Bill who said that it looked like the guy went through a gun store with a magnet on his rifle and it just grabbed everything and stuck to it. This thing has a bipod, but it's on a tripod. And the tripod, I think, is not made for a rifle. It looks to me like a videography tripod. Maybe, you know, there was footage of these cops firing tear gas at CNN reporters. And then the reporters fled and the cops came over and packed up the cameras and lights. Maybe they took one of their tripods and put a rifle on it.
Well, but more and more cops are getting to where they can pretty much take anything they want anyway. The confiscation rules are getting so loose that they can pretty much take anything they want.
In Soviet America, police take your stuff.
And Bill pointed out that the sighting device is for a left-hander, and he's obviously a right-hander.
Yeah, and he's got a scope and a red dot. You know,
and
he's got duplicates of things. Yeah, laser and a flashlight and a flash suppressor, tripod, bipod. Man, it's probably USB enabled.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
When I found the Free State Project, I knew it was the key to achieving liberty in my lifetime. It's awesome to be surrounded by like-minded, freedom-loving activists who've moved here to New Hampshire. From politics to civil disobedience, we have it all. Where I came from, it felt that no matter what I did, liberty was dying. Perhaps you feel the same way? Call 888-377-2515 now to learn more about the Free State Project. That's 888-377-2515 or visit freestateproject.org.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN or virtual private network from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Come on, Ben.
Meow.
So I'm going to read a little more of this Bill Buppert article on ZeroGov.com. Bill is one of our unindicted co-conspirators on the Freedom Fiends. One of our fine hosts here in our rotating on a spit collection of cohorts. In this article from August 15th on ZeroGov.com, an intrusion of cockroaches. Sheriff Andy is shown the door by Bill Buppert. The days of Mayberry RFD are long over and done with. The police serve and protect the rulers and no one else. Like a raft of turkeys or a murder of crows, the city of Ferguson, Missouri is suffering an intrusion of cockroaches, and the qualifier appears to be quite accurate. There is a silver lining to this event. Much like the Boston bombing episode where the cops overreacted and crushed the rights and created police victims out of whole cloth, the Missouri episode demonstrates an important observation. Even though the cops are kitted for war with their fancy equipment, they have no clue how to use it. Now, this is married to the fact that the cops will become increasingly savage over time, but a tipping point may be reached where reaction may not be as pleasant as the black and blue line anticipated. Then he goes on to talk about, take a look at the clown at the top of the armored vehicle, and talks about this tactical rifle, wrongly, incorrectly outfitted, like the red dot is improperly placed and things like that. So, yeah, they don't know what they're doing. They just probably had a big box of tactical accessories and said, yeah, take what you want.
I have a little quote from the LA Times on this story. It's in reference to whether or not this is essentially a black-white issue and whether it's a high-crime area and so forth. So this is from the LA Times. It says, are blacks disproportionately targeted by cops in Ferguson, Missouri? Blacks make up 65% of Ferguson's population, yet they accounted for 86% of traffic stops, 93% of arrests after stops, and 92% of searches after stops in 2013, according to a racial profiling report by the Missouri Attorney General. When stopped by police, blacks in Ferguson were twice as likely as whites to be arrested, even though police found contraband for 34% of whites that they stopped and searched versus 22% of blacks. So what this says in the LA Times is that blacks are more likely to be pulled over, more likely to be searched, more likely to be arrested, even though whites pulled over or are more likely to have what it's calling contraband. We're going to just translate that as drugs, but it could also mean weapons or whatever. So whites are more likely to have something bad that the cops don't want, and yet the blacks are more likely in Ferguson, Missouri to get arrested for it. Also, one other thing, I read that Ferguson, Missouri does not have an unusual crime patterns. It's pretty much like every other place like it everywhere in America.
You know what I think the outcome of this is going to be? And the hint is that they did you see, I mean, they immediately like tried to calm the residents by having a black policeman giving a press conference. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. And the words of Malcolm X popped into my head that I can't say on the radio.
Something about the porch. He would have called him a porch guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Or
an Uncle Tom. Yeah. Or a house guy. Yeah. House guy.
Because they would, and this is a reference to slave days, when they would pick out one or two favorite slaves and they would let them have, you know, they would let them have access to the house, let them hang around on the porch, give them better clothes. And then every time that there was a problem, this guy would go down among the other slaves and try to, you know, settle them down and keep them from rebelling. And it was pretty much, a slave that was in employment of the master in such a way that he got all the favored scraps rather than, you know, what the rest of the slaves had to tolerate.
Yeah, that's the hint. And the extrapolation of it is explained pretty well by a meme I made that went viral, or not viral, but, you know, got 75 shares, which is viral for the little amount that I'm on Facebook, which is barely. It's a picture I found of a woman in Ferguson holding up a sign. It's a black woman holding up a sign that says, "We demand accountability for the death of this." Is it Brown? What's his name? Smith?
Yeah,
Michael,
Brown.
Michael
yeah.
Brown. You know, it's a reasonable, you know, I'm with her. I'm in solidarity with her. Behind her is one of these armored tanks with about 20 or 30 of these gooned out, incorrectly rifled, you know, civil servants that are playing army. And I put an arrow pointing to her that said, "Wants more government," and an arrow pointing to the invading, occupying police force that says, "More government." And, you know, somebody took me to task, and one of the comments, it was mostly favorable, one of the comments against it was, "How do you know she wants more government? You know, you're assuming she's a voter because she's black and lives in Missouri." Possibly, but no, you know, the proof's right there. She wants more government because she's holding a sign asking, you know, the gooned out murderers to be accountable for the gooned out murderers. Yeah. That is wanting more government. Now, okay, so we've had the hint, we've had the explanation. Here's my prediction for the result. Nothing will change in Ferguson as far as general practice, general accountability, you know, getting away with murder. The guy who murdered or who shot, we don't really know the story, and there is footage that, boy, that was a tactical coup for the police to have footage that apparently shows the guy strong arm robbing some cigars minutes before. And I think that the attorney of the family has said that that's him, which is pretty bizarre. But you know, there are bad things, regardless of what happened and why this kid was shot. And of course, this police department does not have dashboard cams, conveniently. Here's what's going to be the results. They're going to hire more black police officers in Ferguson. They're going to throw people that bone that's not really a bone. You know, it's a dry bone with no marrow in it. It's hey, you want to be represented? Here are some people with your skin color to oppress you.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like why people voted for Obama. It's why people are going to vote for Hillary, because they don't look like George Bush or Dick Cheney. But they're going to act like George Bush and Dick Cheney. Obama is totally acting like George Bush and Dick Cheney. He's acting like both of them.
There's that old thing on the internet where it says it doesn't matter if the boot on your throat is a right boot or a left boot, in reference to it doesn't matter if it's a Republican or a Democrat. But I would add to that, it doesn't matter the skin color of the person wearing the boot either. Government oppression, government crushing, you know, the will of the people and holding down business. And it doesn't matter what color the skin is or whether it's coming from a right or left perspective.
Yep, and I have a correction here. It was an Al Jazeera news crew that had tear gas thrown at them and were shot with rubber bullets. The cops released a statement saying they assisted the news crew with putting away their equipment, and the news crew thanked them for it. That's a joke from Lysander Feen. But, you know, they do – what cops do a lot these days is assault people while arresting them for things that aren't crimes. Like, you know – traffic stop arguing with the cop. You know, they will throw the person to the ground, put guns to their head, and then charge them with resisting arrest and nothing else. When the person, you know, probably isn't resisting, or maybe they are. It's a natural impulse to, you know, if you just go into fight or flight mode, you know, when someone is trying to cage you, it is a natural reaction to fight it. However, a lot of times, even when people are not fighting and there is video showing they're not fighting, they are charged with assaulting police officers when the police officers are assaulting them. You know, it's kind of like, his rib cage jumped up and hit my fist. He assaulted me.
Yeah, and far be it, you know, if the cop like scratches his knee as he's throwing you to the ground, you'll be charged with that as evidence that you assaulted him, that he scratched his knee.
Yeah, and you know, if there are good cops out there, I keep hearing about this. I'm willing to be hopeful, but I will believe it when I see good cops arresting bad cops who do things like that. And occasionally they do, but their lives are ruined. You know, the cops go after them. They target their families. We've heard situation after situation where this has happened. And the thing is, the silver lining, you know, Bill said this, one of the silver linings is that that people will see that these police don't know how to use this equipment. And I didn't get a chance to read the whole article, but maybe he says this later, but I think the silver lining, and knowing Bill, he probably does say it later. I think the silver lining is more people. When this happens in your town, you get to see, you get to see the real. You get to see government in action. You know, most people think government in action is once every 4 years you go and pick somebody, and to the point where people think that's so important that if you don't do it, they want to yell at you. They think there's something wrong with you. When those of us who have realized that that is taking part in an immoral system at worst, or even at best, you just realize it's fooling yourself. You know, it's kind of like spinning the tail on the donkey, to mix metaphors, and thinking that you've accomplished something when, you know, an interesting study just came out. I can't recall the source, but it seemed nonpartisan and it seemed academic in a good way, in the good way of that. And I read some of it. It was basically a study that said the average person in America has or the people in America collectively on average have next to zero influence on government policy.
Yeah, I think I read that. I can't remember where I saw that, but I think it was actually linked to from like the Drudge Report or somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's all corporations and the ultra rich. And, you know, we love capitalism here on the Freedom Fiends, but we do not love crapitalism, which is corporatism, which is capitalism verging on fascism, where it's in concert with the government to the point where the government is picking the winners and losers based on the favors. You know, think about who donates to political campaigns and think about the fact that very large corporations generally donate a lot to both sides.
Yeah.
So they have the winner in their pocket to some extent. Yep. Yeah.
And we're going to be back right after this trip to the market.
Yep.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Looking for a new home with good neighbors, no income tax, an active shooting culture with excellent Second Amendment protections, a great business climate, and less government? Then Wyoming might just be the place for you, and freedom-minded folks are already there. Founded by author Kenneth Royce, FreeStateWyoming.org encourages free trade, political liberty, and voluntary cooperation. Come bask in the laissez-faire Western culture of the cowboy state. For details, visit freestatewyoming.org.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Barack Obama is a liar, he's a socialist, and his feet stink. Moreover, he doesn't care what you think. Neither did George Bush. Neither did Dick Cheney. Neither did George Bush the First. Neither did George Washington, because he killed war vets from the Revolutionary War about a decade after the war because they wouldn't pay higher taxes than they'd fought the war over. What do you think of that, Ben?
That's true. He also advocated the bringing in of the army and slaughtering people in, believe it was either upstate New York or Massachusetts in Shays' Rebellion. And at the time, Thomas Jefferson made a statement that he was in support of the people in Shays' Rebellion. And George Washington essentially said, nope, nope, this is why we have to have a standing army and a big government to crush these people.
Is that where Shea Cream gets its name?
That was a situation where
Shea Butter.
The soldiers coming back from the war had not been paid for their years' service in the war. And they got home to find out that a brand new thing had been invented now that they had a state rather than a colony. It was called property tax. And the state was taking their property because they had been, when they were away at war, the state had been charging them property tax, didn't tell them about it, and now the back taxes were due, and they were taking all the property from the farmers. They had literally been fighting this war for freedom from oppressors, only to get home to find out that they had brand new oppressors.
Yeah, well, like Nima Vedati said many times, the radicals become the conservatives the day after the revolution.
Their beards all grow long overnight. But we won't be fooled again.
No,
right?
No, they shave their beards because radicals have beards. You have a big beard.
Yeah.
You're kind of radical. You're a radical thinker, I would say. You're not a radical. But I was kind of crestfallen momentarily when I went to do my research on who actually produced that study, which I called academic, about the average American's interests have practically no influence on government policy. When I Googled it, the first thing that came up was The Onion. And I was like, ugh, did I get onioned? The Onion is a joke news site that has actually been reprinted before as fact, especially by the Iranian corporate federal national newspaper, which is called Fars News, F-A-R-S, as in Farsi, which sounds like a joke because it sounds like Fars, F-A-R-C-E, Fars News, which would be a good name for Fox News and MSLSD and CNN, Communist News Network, I think. But no, The Onion is just printing the fact that there was a study and then printing fake responses to this real study. One is a guy saying, those nice letters from my congressman are enough for me. And a woman who's saying, I should be angry that the average American's interests have practically no influence in government policy. I should be angry, but honestly, I'm pretty relieved the pressure is off. And then one guy said, they could have at least softened the blow by including some broad platitudes about how we're still what makes this country great. But there was an actual article on Breitbart, which was founded by Mr. Breitbart, who was died under mysterious circumstances of a heart attack at age 43 or 42. And many believe there was a government plot behind it. Who knows? Who knows? Many believing something does not make it true. But, you know, we could go into that, too. You have knowledge. You've read things about that on the Internet. But
yeah,
this study does exist, and it's called Testing Theories of American Politics, Elites, Interest Groups, and Average Citizens. And it's produced by Princeton University professor Martin Gillians and Northwestern University professor Benjamin Page. So yeah, they don't care. The elites don't care what you do. They don't care what you say. What is it? Who was it who said, I don't care if people protest as long as they pay their taxes?
Ooh.
Something from the 60s. Might have been Haldeman or Eichmann, Ehrlichman or Nixon. Nixon.
Or one of those other Nazis.
One of those other Nazis, yeah. Ooh.
LBJ.
LBJ. Yeah, man. If you think Democrats are cool,
LBJ, he hated blacks, didn't want him to have the vote, and he wanted to kill hippies. And the FBI finally released a tape of him basically saying all that.
He called the left and the right.
He called hippies anarchists, too.
The left and the right, there's not a dime's worth of difference.
We'll be back with hour two of the Freedom Fiends, enlightening, engorging, and entertaining your brain.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out CreamyRadioAudio.com. That's CreamyRadioAudio.com.
Meow.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural, wild, mountain west in the occupied states of America.
Let's try this again. Mr. Ben Stone, you are on the ground, an embedded reporter, boots on the ground in Missouri. What have you seen in the past 24 hours?
Dateline, I am in Missouri, and the excitement is all around me right now. It's everything that you've imagined it would be, and it's all right here. It's like being in Vegas, Disneyland, and Bakersfield what? All at the same time. Yeah, there's a Beatles tribute show going on. There's what? A Four Seasons tribute show, an Elvis tribute show. There's even an ABBA tribute show. Can you believe it? ABBA tribute show?
We sent you to Ferguson. What's going on? That doesn't sound like Ferguson.
Ferguson, I don't know. It says, the sign says Dolly Parton's Dixie Stampede. I have no idea what that is, but it sounds pretty violent.
Are there police everywhere and people riding in the streets and
no,
protesting in the streets and being
Gatling Brothers?
By
that,
cops.
That sounds pretty dangerous.
You're
Gatling
in Branson,
Brothers.
Aren't you?
I'm in Branson, Missouri.
Yeah, okay.
And there's giant signs for Clay Cooper here.
Okay, we did it right this time. I just wanted to try it again. We do have redos, and you know, there are some stations that only play us in the second hour, so that worked for somebody. Yeah. Ben,
terrible.
You really are in Branson, Missouri today, aren't you?
I am in Branson, Missouri, and we're hoping to get an interview with Yakov Smirnoff, the wonderful entertainer that has a beautiful theater here.
I'm looking forward to that. So, why do you say voting will turn you into your parents? Actually, I said that.
You said that, and I thought that's one of the coolest things I have heard in a long time.
You know, that's funny because I mentioned it to Lou, and it was like Lou was on fire that night, like to the point where they need to call out a SWAT team from Ferguson. He was on fire. He was great last time he was on the show. It was the best Lou ever.
But he didn't think that was that good of a joke. He wanted to call the episode something else that was like kind of okay, but the wording wasn't perfect. And I was like, man, voting will turn you into your parents. He didn't even laugh. But he did just send us something that's pretty funny. Let me interject here. It was Al Jazeera's news crew that had tear gas fired at them. Now, I've seen the video of this. It's three guys standing at night next to a news van, boots on the ground, embedded reporters from Al Jazeera. They have lights set up. They have a, you know, $25,000 or $50,000 high-def news camera set up on a tripod. One of them's about to, you know, talk into the mic and be filmed. I'm standing here in Ferguson. I can't do any accents. So they're and there's nobody around them, and tear gas lands at their feet. Like, it was obviously fired at them. And they run away, and then the cops show up. You know, the cops walk over, who fired the tear gas, walk over and start packing up their cameras. And that's the end of the video. It looks like they have, well, they did tear gas these reporters, and they have been arresting reporters there. You know, First Amendment's gone. News can't report. It's a news-free zone in Ferguson. But the St. Louis Dispatch reports, despite reports, SWAT team helped Al Jazeera reporters, did not take their equipment. So they helped them by firing tear gas at them. So that's, you know, this goes back to Nima Vedati's experience that he's told us about many times on the show when he was a reporter for two of the three main three-letter news agencies, you know, or may, you know, there used to be three networks on TV, and he's worked for two of them. I'm not going to say who they are, but he was a reporter in Wyoming and in Washington State, and he said that basically, you know, it's not like it doesn't feel like there's a one world globalist agenda writing your scripts for you. You write your scripts. But it's more like your producer knows what the people watching the news want. And they're generally older people. You know, young people get their news from the internet. Older people who actually watch the 6 o'clock and 11 o'clock news, you know, are people who want to be protected and want to know that the government's protecting them and don't see how things could possibly work in the absence of government with private industry that would actually do their job rather than oppressing people and throwing tear gas at them and stealing reporters' equipment. And they send the reporters out. Here's what Nima told me. They send you out and they say, there's a new tax measure bond being voted on to raise money for more police or for, you know, let's say for more police. And they send the reporter out and tell them to get some tape, you know, some VOS, some man on the street, MOS interviews. And, you know, you'll go out and interview like seven people. And if six of them say, I don't know, I don't like taxes, you know, I don't know that the more police will protect us. You know, my cousin got beat up by the police. If they get answers like that, they only use the one person who says, my neighbor got broken into and we need more police to protect us from that. You know, so they use selective editing and kind of confirmation bias. So the reporters actually get to write, you know, they're not reading from a script, but what they can put in their own writing is vastly dictated by. Here's the thing, too. If they do something that's incredibly critical of the police, they lose access to the police. Or if they do anything to just, you know, irk them without even trying, like Nima once showed up at a police report, you know, they heard it on the scanner, the news truck, and showed up, and Nima was open carrying a pistol on his hip, and you know, the chief of police wasn't there. Was it the chief of the police or the sheriff? I can't remember which. You know, the head guy was not on the scene, but the head guy, it was either the sheriff or the chief of police. I think it was the chief of police, called Nima's boss before Nima got back to the news shop. Like, Nima got back and his boss said, were you wearing a gun at a news scene? And he said, yeah. and he said, if you do that again, you're fired. Because if you do that again, the police are never going to give us any information for a story. All they're going to give us is badge number, name, and tell us to go away.
Wow.
So, you know, them having their business model basically relies on painting the police in a good light, to the point where, you know, they can take something like video of police shooting tear gas at reporters taking their, you know, and packing up their news cameras. I don't know if they actually took it, but and then saying, and then the news, you know, Fox 2 Now in St. Louis saying that the sheriff's SWAT team helped these reporters somehow.
They break your legs, hand you a crutch, and tell you, see, without us, you couldn't walk.
Yeah, that's a funny saying. I like that. So back to voting will turn you into your parents. You really like that.
Yeah, you know, it really is true, though, because the audience that you're talking about, that those TV stations are playing to.
The old at heart. I wouldn't just say it's the old. Yeah. I don't want to be ageist. I'm 50. You're 50. How old are you?
53, 54, something like that.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, I know people much older than that who understand liberty and understand what's going on. And I know people much younger than that who sit glued to the news. You know, another thing that like mainstream news does is they love, and the government loves to do, is like stimulate your limbic system, you know, like overstimulate your adrenaline and all of your glands and raise your heartbeat beat and put you into a state of constant low level shock.
Yeah.
So you will look to them for protection and reporting on the news that, you know, things are going to be different with this new goon we've put in place, you know, whether it's the new sheriff or the new chief of police or the new governor or the new president or the new city council member. You know, change is coming. Change isn't coming, man. When people say, I want to get back to when America was good, remember, George Washington murdered war vets from the Revolutionary War because they refused to pay a tax that was higher than the tax they'd fought over. So when do you get back to when America was good? I guess it would have to be the moment of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776, which really wasn't the creation of America. The Revolutionary War started in April of 1775, and the Constitution wasn't signed until 90-something. And wasn't ratified. So, you know, when did it really start? Was there ever a few moments that were good? And if there were, they were during a war. And nothing's good during a war. No one's, you know, some people might be happy and feel they're fighting for something good, but most people are living in fear and having their house burned down. So I don't know that there's this America of the mind that people portray when they say, let's get back to America, back when things were good, because things weren't good. And regardless of the fact that there is, you know, I don't know even know if there's more police presence now. I think there's just more video available and it's more shareable because of the internet and because of technology of little high def cameras that fit in our pockets. But I think we have more free speech than we've ever had, man. I mean, there were times when, you know, if we said the things we're saying and printed them up on a pamphlet and handed them out throughout much of America, that would get you jailed. And now we're saying them on the radio from our homes. You're in a camper, aren't you, Ben?
Yeah, I'm in a RV, a motorhome. Yeah.
You're driving around the country solving mysteries and giving opinions. So why do you say voting will turn you into your parents?
Well, I have a good example. You know, out there in the L.A. area, there's this group called the Liberty Kids, and we're told that they're shaking up the L.A. Republican Party. But what, you know, what they're really doing, these are very libertarian-oriented Republicans that are former Ron Paul supporters and so forth, and they're getting in there and they're taking over the Republican Party in L.A. But what are they really doing? They're not really doing anything. They're doing the exact same thing that people have been doing over and over. And they're expecting to get a different result. But to do the same thing over and over expecting a different result is insanity. What they need to realize is it's the system that's broken. It's not, we don't need to get out there and shake up the vote or shake up the Libertarian Party or shake up the Republican Party or shake up the Democrat Party. What we need to do is not be a party to government.
Yeah, and I would say that occupations like this one in Missouri and the one after the Boston bombing, I would say that the silver lining in it all is it allows people to see government in action on their streets. You know,
yeah,
people getting arrested, really people getting arrested for nothing, a show of force by the people that are supposed to protect you. If there's anybody out there that's like thinks I'm, you know, a bad person because I'm pointing out and speaking truth to power, these people are supposed to work for you. They're not working for you when they're occupying your streets in military equipment and gear, pointing rifles at your head, crazy rifles with too many tacticals on them, and stealing your stuff.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
It's Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. And we're hanging out here with Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, from the Bad Quaker podcast at badquaker.com. So, Ben, tell me a little bit more about why voting will turn you into your parents.
Well, you know, there's this expectation that you get when you're involved in the system. You know, you got to get involved. You got to make a difference. You got to be a part of the thing. And as you do that, you have expectations that you're actually going to have an impact. And one or two things will happen. You'll either have an impact or it will impact you. But one way or the other, the end result is that government is still based on some people forcing other people to do their will. So even if, you know, these liberty kids out there in LA that are invading the Republican Party, even if they have their way and they get into politics and they get control of part of the Republican Party, all it's giving them is a false sense of involvement in something that's really not going to change the bigger picture. And so it's confirmation bias. You mentioned that earlier. By them getting involved, they think that they're making a difference, and therefore they see, or at least they perceive that they're making a difference, so they get involved more. And all it really does is waste their time and their money and their efforts. And it's kind of like that with local news, you know, national news to a certain extent. But people watch it for confirmation bias. That's why you have the CNNs and the Foxes that give you a slightly different tilt on the same news, but they're feeding you the same thing. It's because they're wanting you docile. They're wanting you to feel like something's being done, even though it just continues to get worse and worse. So the whole act of voting and the whole act of getting involved in politics, ultimately, all it is a pacifier to make the person who's doing it feel better about what it is that's happening to them.
Yeah. And let me play devil's advocate here for a minute. Well, okay, Ben, but what would you do? What's your plan?
Well, you know, government is going to run its course, and it's going to do the things that it's going to do. And if it's not hard to do the math and see that at some point, you know, the constant printing of money, the constant oppression of business, the constant oppression of people is going to have a backlash, and it's going to do whatever it's going to do. And so the best thing that the individual can do is just make your own life and the life of your family as free as you can get it. And I don't believe in degrees of freedom. I think you're either free or you're not. But the first step in that is being free in your mind and not allowing, you know, it's really easy to focus on every single negative thing that's going on, whether we're talking about what's happening in Missouri or whether, you know, wherever over in the Middle East or whatever, and worrying about that and worrying about if terrorists are going to come and get us or whatever. But if you really want to be free, you have to free your mind of that, and you have to free your will of being stuck into just seeing and hearing and believing what they're teaching you to believe.
Barack Obama said from vacation the other day, the world is exploding all over. And I really think that everything that he's describing as exploding that's bad is the government's fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the old thing, you know, back in the days of Rome, they used to, in order to quiet the crowds, they used to say, well, Hannibal is at the gate. And of course, he was this scary foreigner that was, you know, the enemy of Rome that was so scary and had big elephants that were coming to kill you and everything. But they used that as an excuse even after he was dead, you know. And Hannibal himself even said when they were about to kill him, he said, well, you're not going to have me to use as a boogeyman anymore. But they did. They kept using that excuse, and that's what they use today. It's always, you know, there's somebody on the other side of the mountain that's going to come get you. There's somebody across this ocean that's going to come get you. And it's always this fear tactic that however bad things are right now, they'd sure be a whole lot worse if we weren't here to protect you.
Yeah, when we were kids, it was the Russians, and, you know, that ended. And now it's those Middle Easterners. And, you know, the Middle Eastern hatred of America is a direct result to the U.S. occupation of the Middle East.
Yeah, the United States government has been over there fiddling with those people for decades.
As long as since they found oil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I am, you know, we're being radio friendly here, but they have been over there fiddling with those people's government and fiddling with those people and, you know, messing with them in every way possible.
Oh, writing, I mean, you know, one of the classic examples is, you know, ousting a democratically elected leader in Iran in the 70s.
Yeah.
Think
exactly.
about that. Like, think about, you know, the U.S. always says that their goal is to spread democracy in the world. They finally democratically elect a leader in Iran, and the U.S. Depose him, you know, get him kicked out. So square, man, so square.
Politicians are square.
Ronald Reagan didn't end the Cold War. Yakov Smirnov did. Seriously, man. He did more than Reagan.
Yep, I would agree with that.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is some Squiskar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Meow.
Hey, Ben. What's up?
Hey, Michael. Did you know the Free State Project is almost 80% of the way to reaching its goal of 20,000 people?
No.
Stating their intent to move to New Hampshire to exert the fullest practical effort toward the creation of a society in which the maximum role of government is the protection of individual rights to life, liberty, and property.
Awesome. Thank you for telling me that.
And if our listeners are tired of the constant growth of government intrusion in your area, sign up now at freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. Now, moving to Texas, the opposite
of New
Hampshire.
Which is not the free state.
It's a police state from a lot of what I hear. I mean, I know that I would say about a third of the stories that I get in my Twitter feed about the cops did something horrible to a citizen or a civilian or a person or a human.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Yeah, a lot of them happen in Texas. And I mean, it is one of the more populated states, but even so, it seems like a disproportionate amount of it there. And Nima Vidotti lives there, and he says he's been pulled over for driving while brown. That is a crime in Texas, apparently. But Governor Perry has been indicted. The Texas governor is charged with abusing his power and coercing a public servant. Now, I have a couple comments on that. First of all, oh, he just got caught. They all do it. Secondly, you know, if you really took it to the letter of the law, I think that all politicians are guilty of a lot of crimes as part, and I'm not talking about the ones that do things extraordinarily horrible and get caught. I'm talking about their job description. You know, I mean, their job description is forcing people to do things, you know, making executive orders like a king, deploying troops, stealing money at gunpoint, and yes, taxation is theft at gunpoint, because if you don't pay your taxes, they will come to talk to you. If you tell them to go away, they will come back to talk to you with men with guns. If you tell them to go away, then they will enter your home, and if you resist, they will throw you to the ground and put a gun to your head. So yeah. All taxes and all laws, all nanny laws especially, are enforced at the barrel of a gun. I mean, real crimes, murder, rape, theft, fraud, coercion, threat of any of those things, arson, you know, strong-armed robbery, all those things are real crimes where there's a victim. Most crimes don't have a victim. You know, your fence is too high, you know, you don't have a muffler on your car, or you do have a muffler on your gun. You know, those things don't have victims. That's a Boston Tea Party quote. You know, those are nanny crimes, and they're still enforced at the barrel of a gun with an occupying force. You know, I would say people make fun of the Third Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, which is no quartering of soldiers. Like, I've heard Onion news pieces of like, an interview with so-and-so from the Third Amendment Center. He's going to make sure they don't quarter British troops in your home. And, you know, people make fun of it as an archaic thing that doesn't exist anymore. I would say the Third Amendment is violated by the existence of these SWAT goon teams and drug enforcement, you know, the nanny police that are all gooned out and have unlimited amounts of your money to equip themselves with all their toys that you could never, that you're not allowed to own.
Yeah.
The fact that they live in your neighborhood among you and you're paying their salary, I would say that is quartering soldiers in your home, you know, absolutely. in the mood of that law, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. This is pretty comical. Yeah. It's pretty comical with Rick Perry that first off, the problem started with this Rosemary Lindbergh, who was in charge of investigating other aspects of government in Texas. And it seems that she went out and got plastered one night and got herself arrested for being drunk. And then she was belligerent to the cops. Yeah, she was belligerent to the cops.
Yeah, and a lot of what she was saying to the cops was some variation on, don't you know who I am? And, you know, you got to understand, every fight in the world from, you know, bullying in the playground to world wars start with some declaration, some variation of, don't you know who I am? Which really translates, and you know, every cop encounter that's negative is the cop saying or doing something to the effect of, don't you know who I am? And don't you know who I am? Whenever that's uttered, the person uttering it or any variation of it is admitting that they are a small person who doesn't feel life is fair and they want more power than they have. That's what that means. Don't you know who I am? I'm special. I have a shiny badge. I'm a bureaucrat for Texas. I'm the biggest kid in the bully, the biggest bully in the schoolyard. I'm France during the, you know, I'm America. I'm England. I'm Israel. You know, don't you know who I am? Basically is someone saying, I'm nobody and I want to be somebody. And if you don't treat me like somebody, I will kill you.
And the truth is probably that this Rosemary Lemberg didn't do anything either less or better or worse than the guy who got shot in Missouri. I mean, he probably
allegedly strong armed robbed somebody. There's video of it.
The cop didn't know that.
Yeah.
So as far as who they were dealing with, you know, Rosemary Lemberg was like mouthy and somewhat violent, and they didn't shoot her.
Yeah.
But so here's the whole thing. Rick Perry decided that she should resign, and partially probably because she's been investigating some of his shenanigans. So he he tries to get her to resign because she's ashamed. It's shameful.
Because she got caught.
Yeah, because she got caught. And so Rick Perry threatened to cut off the financing for her entire department. And then he went ahead and cut off the financing. And so technically, I mean, you know, this is for lawyers to get into whether or not he really broke the law or whether she should have resigned or whether he should not have held back. Really, this is all, like you said, this is just business as usual among these people. And everything they do is about using intimidation and, you know, abuse of power. Everything Rick Perry does in office is an abuse of power.
Barack Obama said that he wished that, you know, Congress wasn't a do-nothing Congress and that more congressmen were like Frank Underwood from House of Cards. Now, he said that early on in House of Cards. I guess he'd probably still stand by it, though. But if you'd seen the British House of Cards that it's based on, the whole plot had been laid out. The congressman in House of Cards berates, bullies, bribes, cheats, lies, steals, has people murdered, and murders some people with his own hand. A couple people, you know, like people very close to him, you know, in his cabinet and emotionally close to him, and one is his lover. So, Barack Obama wishes more congressmen would murder people to get Barack Obama's will done, apparently.
This reminds me of that scene in the first Godfather movie where the very naive girlfriend of Al Pacino says, Al Pacino says, well, my dad is a businessman. He's a very important man. He's like a congressman or senator or president. And she says, well, congressmen and presidents don't kill people. And he says, who's naive now?
Yeah. Yeah. So I would also say if Rick Perry, other than this is just business as usual, you know, more like he just got caught. It says that he's the first Texas governor in 100 years to be investigated for political corruption.
And they're bragging about that point.
I know. Oh, like they'd have a sign in the state house, almost 100 years since our last corruption scandal. And that doesn't mean that they've had 100 years with no corruption. I mean,
right. This is just the one that got caught.
Yeah. Isn't it? Three out of the last four governors of Illinois are in prison, and Louisiana doesn't have much better average than that. But, you know, I just keep going back to, like, it's not even that he got caught. I mean, really, in a just world, all politicians would be charged and convicted and imprisoned for, you know, theft, coercion, fraud,
abuse of power
under cover of authority, you know, and probably stealing pencils and paperclips too. which is a real crime. So tell me more about your feelings about the beloved Governor Rick Perry of the great state of Texas.
Well, you know, it's kind of like Republicans to pick a time like this to shoot themselves in the foot, because you know, this is a time when we've got a lame duck Democrat, and he's done some things that
Who's this we? You got a mouse in your pocket? Don't pull me into this. I don't have a lame duck president. He's not my president.
I don't have a president.
No presidents are my president.
So there's this lame duck Democrat president that's done some things that the Republicans are allowed to now go out and say, oh, this is why you have to give up us a chance, even though they blew the last chance. And so Americans are supposed to have this selective memory and not remember that the Republicans do the same thing. And then they're supposed to bring these Republicans in to replace the failed Democrats. Of course, then the Republicans will fail. But here's the deal. Once again, a Republican shoots himself in the foot over this, and one of the top presidential Republican contenders is out of the race. So I guess, you know, in a sense, that opens it up for the next Bush, for the next whoever the next Bush.
It's going to be Jeb Bush versus Hillary Clinton, and I think Hillary's going to win. And that's a really disgusting thought. But is any one of them any more disgusting than any other ones?
I guess
the only difference is if Hillary's president, idiots will be calling me sexist instead of racist when I'm criticizing her.
And if Bush becomes president, that's just as disgusting a thought to me.
Oh, man. Yeah. And, you know, what's with all these dynasties? But again, then again, isn't there some theory that, you know, 98% of the presidents are, you know, four out of five presidents, they're all relatives. Yeah.
Yeah. And they don't really matter anyway, because I don't buy the idea that it's all based on this great man. He's going to save us, whoever this great president is. But the next one, this one failed, but the next one will, you know, that he'll save us, really. For sure. It's like Rocky and Bullwinkle, where Bullwinkle says, "Watch me pull a rabbit out of this hat," and Rocky says, "That never works," and he says, "This time for sure."
Lucy pulling the football out from Charlie Brown.
Yeah, exactly. It's always goes the same way. Why do you expect this great man to come out of nowhere and save you? It's not going to happen.
Yeah, the first three or four presidents acted like kings, and every one of them since then has been beholden to special interests of large business that it has its pocket in the government's back pocket and down its pants, and vice versa.
Yeah.
They don't care what you think.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Yeah.
Nice drums.
Thank you. It's a drum machine.
Are you going to tell me that that's not a xylophone either?
Oh, no. You know that I did play that, but that is actually a MIDI sample that I don't even have a keyboard. I programmed that with my mouse with an on-key keyboard, but that doesn't make it any less musical, you know?
No, it's still music. And it's good.
I could probably play a xylophone too. I'm pretty good on any instrument except drums, and they have machines for that now. So, all right, you got a... You know, people have probably been listening here for a couple hours and going, man, these guys sure complain a lot. I kind of like their complaining, but they're even telling me voting's not a solution. You know, and people get upset when you say that, but I'm like, when has it worked? When have you voted, had your guy, I'm doing air quotes, your guy win, and things got better? And if you had a lot of hopes for somebody and your guy didn't win, and you think, well, next time we'll vote harder. You know, voting is, as they say, voting is the suggestion box for the slaves.
Yeah.
And no matter who you vote into power, they're going to use power at you. They're going to steal your money. They're going to take your rights. They're not going to live up to their promises. And that's just how it is. You know, if you want to keep voting, keep voting. It's kind of like in Alcoholics Anonymous. There's a thing in the AA book of, you know, if you have read our suggestions and don't believe in them, we welcome you to do more research, which is, I kind of read between the lines, is you'll be back. But, you know, you usually will be, because if you have an alcohol addiction, you can't drink responsibly and it will always act like poison in your body. And if you have a political solution addiction, you know, politics is always poison. It never is good. They say politics is like sausage. It's a good product, but you don't want to see it made. It's not a good product, man. That is apologist speaking. That's an apologist writing for this state apparatus. It's an apparatchik of the state going, well, people aren't buying it anymore that it's, you know, made in a responsible way. So let's at least admit that and say it's like sausage. It's a good product, but you don't want to see it made. But it's not even a good product. So, Ben, what is your solution, Mr. Know-It-All?
Well, one thing that people can do is to get together with like-minded people. And, you know, we bump into each other. There's an old saying that says steel sharpens steel. And we bump into each other. We kind of take the rough edges off each other. And we do that at events like Pork Fest. Coming up, we've got the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, August 22nd, 3rd, 24th, and 25th in Michigan. We've got this Minnesota Agora Fest coming up. That's August 22nd through 24th. Oh, they overlap. Hmm. You got the thing coming up that Jeff Berwick is organizing in Acapulco, which is going to be Anarchapulco. Things like this are not the solution, but what they do is they offer us the opportunity to get together, bump into each other, kind of refine each other, see who's on our side, you know, see what we're really about. I know for me, meeting you at Pork Fest, you know, we've known each other electronically for years now, but to meet you and see you at Pork Fest and to get together with the other Freedom Fiends, it really concreted us in a way that just talking, you know, over electronics couldn't do by itself.
Yeah, that picture at the top of the Freedom Fiend site. I used to have a picture I really liked for years that a fan made that was it was kind of funny and kind of complicated. It was a cat, but it was one of those like wildcat house cats. You know, they're part wildcat and they look like little leopards or something or tigers. It was one of those speaking into a microphone, and then behind them there were a bunch of wind up mice sneaking up behind him, and some of them had drones on top of them, and one of them was carrying a sign that said "We're here to help," and one had a sign that said "Appeasement," and "We're here to help" is a thing that we frequently quote that Ronald Reagan said. It was a great saying. Too bad he didn't really abide by it. He said, the scariest words in English language are, we're from the government and we're here to help. And appeasement was a Middle East, was a World War II technique of the British giving in to Hitler to some of his demands. So, you know, that's what government does.
Yeah.
They give in to the demands of idiots to remain
that's
in power.
Square.
That is square. All right, Ben, thank you for your service. Thank you for your solutions. And community is what it's about.
Yeah,
and
see
you
tomorrow.
Just because some of the communities is on the internet doesn't mean, oh, it's not real. There's people at the other end of those computers, as my friend Bernie says.
Yeah, definitely.
But go out and meet them. It's good.
Hey, see you tomorrow, Michael.
All right, we'll be on tomorrow. Thanks, Ben.
Same time, same
channels. Bad Quaker from badquaker.com.
Thanks a
lot. Worms.
I have not been contacted by the government.
I have not either.